Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Can I come to you on Micheál and Mother Hearty? It's almost surreal, Bertie Ahern, that we were preparing to talk and pay tribute to Micheál and Mother Hearty, and then Tommy Gorman passes away. But Micheál and Mother Hearty is a sporting and a broadcasting, a social icon, really, in this country, wasn't he?
Yes, no doubt about that. Actually, I suppose I should mention the difference between the two of them was... Tommy was fanatical soccer. Sligo Rovers was part of his life, and my last conversation was how Sligo Rovers beat Shelburne at home. Micheál being the Dingle man, and you know, such a great character. I mean, I had so many times that I've met him in so many places, whether it was hurling, football, ladies football, camogie, handball, dog race, and I mean, he went to so many events and so many clubs, and I mean, he had so much energy, and even in later years, he seemed to get around in an incredible way. But I suppose for whole generations of people listening, he was the, from the time Micheál O'Hare had to give up when he got ill, Micheál has done every big GAA game, summer, winter, spring and autumn, and you know, he brought so much excitement to it, so much colour, and he had that great Kerry way of explaining things, that I always remember that famous one when Tipperary were playing Galway, and he said it was when Joe Rabbit was
chasing Pat Fox.
Chasing Pat Fox, and that must have been one of the funniest things. Yeah. He said, "I've seen it all now." Yeah. But he'd so many of these things, and I'm sure people will pull them up. But his knowledge, forget about the game just for a second, or the big All Ireland, but his knowledge of the communities around the country. The clubhouses, whenever you'd mention a place, he'd immediately say the GAA club.
And that came from homework. Incredible way. Didn't it, Bertie? And you'd know this from campaigning, I suppose, on a national level. In a way, he did something similar, because whenever there was a big match, he'd go to the place. That's what all his colleagues here tell us. And he used to quiz them up on the family and the business of the family, the Anthony Lynch, the last man to let you down, his father is an undertaker. That kind of stuff. Yeah, that's where he got his humour from, I suppose.
And it was that ability, but being, and it's not an easy thing to do, that if you're going for, like, he'd be doing it in All-Ireland final, and he'd be able to say, and his father played in X year, and his grandfather played. Now, you can plan that all you like, but doing it in the heat of a match, it was incredible. Mm. So I suppose it was his Moontower Scullet, which he learned back in St. Pat's and Canises and places down the years.
Yeah, and there were certain things that were really close to his heart. Kerry, obviously, and we won't get away scot-free if we don't mention Kerry in relation to Micheál Mother Hearty. He was always a proud Kerry man. The Irish language as well. He was the Cathaoirleach of Bord na Gaeilge for a certain time. And I don't recall any public interview or public utterance he ever made, Bertie Ahern, that he didn't have some Irish in there. He had a Crawford.
No, and I go to Ballyferrer most years of my life, and to Kerry, and you would meet him with his family, his lovely family. You'd meet him in Dingle, and you know, he as the years went on, he with his grandkids, and you know, they all spoke very, very good Irish, and you know, Micheál would be to the heart and soul of that, and I think he in every function that he ever did, he'd speak nearly half Irish, half English, and I think he probably brought that love of it. And of course, in the early years before he did all the All-Irelands, when Micheál O'Hare, when he did the minor All-Irelands for years, which were Oskelga. And
that's right. And the Railway Cups as well.
For way band, the Railway Cups.
And Kabir, I was listening to Dáire Kinnéidh and Rally on the Gaeltachta today. They had a beautiful programme paying tribute to him. And they had the Fine Gael MEP, Sean Kelly, former GAA president as well. And they were discussing how he considered running for the presidency. And I didn't know this, Micheál Mother Hearty. And Sean reckoned he would have been a fantastic president, but he resiled from it at some point. Would he have been, in your opinion, a great president?
Yeah, I think he would, because he was known throughout the length and breadth of the country, and he was so kind to a lot of the clubs. A lot of these clubs were trying to raise money for facilities. And I remember when we were doing the sports grant and you get paid 50% of the cost or 60% of the cost, and they'd forever be doing fundraisers. And it's not easy to be getting into your car and driving one end of the country to the other, you know, to do events and back home, which he always did. And, you know, he gave so much, and I'm sure there'll be thousands of stories. I mean, I do the amount of times I met him on the, you know, and the days 40 years ago when I was doing the Chicken and Ship Brigade and all of that stuff, but you would meet him in towns and villages all over the country doing his bit for the cause of some GAA club to try and make up the difference between the grant and what they had and what they needed. And, you know, he did incredible. And, of course, his own family were so well known, because in later years they came to Croke Park, his son being a great physio for sports people and everybody. So many of them did so much for our Gaelic Games.
Yeah, and he has touched, because of his commentary, he has touched people far and wide in Ireland and abroad as well. Some of the text to 51551, I might read some of them, Bertie Hearn, and you might comment on one or two of them, because they bring up stories. Tommy in Mayo says, what a huge loss to the GAA and people throughout the length and breadth of the nation. Micheál Mudaherty, remember Micheál when he came to Castlebar some years ago. He loved football and people loved him. May he rest in peace, says that listener. People forget that Micheál had a song called The Morning Dew with Liam O'Connor in 2006. Yeah. It reached number 18 in the charts, is this listener. At halftime of the 2006 football final, he went onto the pitch and performed it and brought the house down before announcing that the first half had a set record for most goals scored in a half in an All-Ireland final. A true lech, says that listener. He was a man of many talents. He'll be sadly missed, even though he's gone off the airwaves for some time.
Yeah, and, you know, he still, whenever he could, went to events. It's a year ago since I last met him. And, you know, he would try and get along, and he'd be always supportive and encouraging. And, you know, even when you were in office, he would always be up to date on what the current issues. But anyway, I have to say, to all the good years when Kerry were beating us, he was always nice about it, and when we started beating them, he was nice about it. So he was a great man.
Yeah, okay, for sure. Agus ar yes Jager on.
We think of his family more than anything, because his family were such lovely, lovely people, and you know, attend to Croke Park, helped them in Croke Park, helped them in the commentary box, and you know, they were lovely, lovely people.
Yeah, it's certainly a loss for the Muintirí Mudaherty and the O'Gorman families. We are thinking of them both. Bertie Hearn, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and John Downing of the Irish Independent, thank you as well. Some of your texts to 51551, two gentle hearts have stopped beating, hard-working hands are at rest. God broke our hearts to prove to us that he'll only take the best. Our yes de gra a anam dealish. And that's from Sean in Kerry. 51551 for your tributes.
Text 51551. Drive time on RTÉ Radio 1.
We're remembering the cultural and sporting and broadcasting icon that is Micheál Mudaherty, who's passed away aged 93. I'm joined by Alan Milton, who's Director of Communications with the GAA, and Kerry football great Kieran Donaghy. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might come to you, Kieran Donaghy, first of all. You're a sad Kerry man today, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of news that kind of stops you in your tracks, really, Cormac. It's I think he's a kind of a national icon to all of us, but you know, he is one of our own in Kerry, and you'd have a kind of a serious craw to him going all the way back. And just, yeah, what he was able to do in terms of, he was able to bring you from the kitchen table or the car seat and lend you into the middle of Croke Park in the middle of all the madness, the way he was able to kind of communicate the game across the people on radio, I think was, you know, something that I don't think there's anybody that always says it would be great if you could bring him back for a game or two. Oh, yeah. We won't get them chances, no, but he was.
And when you were playing with Kerry, I mean, did it ever cross your mind that here I am in Croke Park playing for Kerry and Micheál Mudaherty will be commentating?
It didn't, you know, it didn't. Them things don't come across your head when you're playing, but I remember they did a lovely documentary on him one time, and he mentions me in the documentary and talks about that my dad was a Tyrone man, and he was talking about Kerry in that way, and he had me with the underdogs as well, so he would have had an affiliation with me on that side of it as
That's
well.
The TG Carr program,
Yeah, the TG Cahir program. He was a selector along with Jarlett Burns, the current president of the GEA, and Mickey Ned was the manager. So the lads kind of drove that team. And I remember we were getting onto the bus going into that game against Kerry in Ossenstacks Park, and there was 8,000 or 9,000 people at it. It was a big occasion. Obviously, all the underdogs had never played with a county before, so we were quite nervous. And Michal put in a cassette into the machine and pressed play, and he turned off all the lights in the bus. And it was actually him doing a commentary on us coming back against Kerry late in the game. He mentioned all 24 players in it. So I think it was visualization before people knew visualization was a thing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I remember the hair standing in the back of our neck, and we literally got off the bus, went in and actually beat Kerry in Ossenstacks Park in an unbelievable game. So he was a magic man.
If you can hear it from Michal, you can believe it. Isn't that right? Stay with me.
Exactly.
Kieran, Alan Milton, Owen Gumaluk, Lascale, Falltrues, Alan, Skirmil, Maga, the Sucht, Lortlin. He was so important, wasn't he, to the GAA, to Irish life in general, but to the GAA as well.
Well, he probably wouldn't describe himself as it, but he was a showed nashiunta, really. He was a national jewel, Cormac. And what he did for Gaelic games and for the culture of this country, it will be hard to estimate or quantify. His graph for the Irish language was without rival or compare, and his ability to switch from one language to the next seamlessly was a fantastic trait, and really underlined the creativity that he brought to his craft and his trade. I first encountered him as a young journalist, and he always had time. He was never too busy, and that was the same the world over. I had the good fortune to travel abroad with him, and I remember him doing commentaries on All-Star games that might have been attended by 300 or 400 people, and there would be a procession towards Michal afterwards, because he connected people not just across the island of Ireland, but right around the world with the halfway line in Croke Park. And the contribution he made to the promotion of the games was inestimable. I'd go as far as to say, Cormac, he was probably the best public relations officer the GAA ever had.
Well, without question.
He followed Michal O'Hare in that regard.
Yeah, do you remember, I mean, people are reciting some of his best commentaries. Do you remember the one with the streaker, where the streaker was on one side and Donegal were attacking on the other? The streaker was on the 20-yard line and Donegal was on the 50. That Donegal put the ball over the bar and the stewards have the streaker. That ability to do various things at once, keep an eye on various things at once, it was I've never seen or heard the like of it before, Alan.
No, he had an incredible way with words, and he was a Shanachie in essence, but his ability to call things in real time as they were unfolding in front of him, it's also worth reminding people that he was incredibly well prepared for every single fixture he came in here to Level 7 in Croke Park. He always had a member of the family with him, but he was very well prepared, and he had his notes done and his homework done. And the fact that he knew every townsland in Ireland and knew every player and their background didn't just happen by accident. He had a profound interest in people and the story behind our games, which reach into every corner of the island. And really today, you know, our thoughts while they're with Helena and his wider family. We lost someone very, very special today as a country, and they don't come along every generation. And I do think that the young people who will be exposed to some of the commentaries over the next few days should definitely embrace them, because I'm not too sure we'll hear the likes of them again.
I think you're dead right. Can I ask you, Kieran Donnelly, in the short half a minute or so that I have left, about his presence in an All-Ireland final dressing room moments before you go out on the pitch? That used to happen, didn't it?
It did. He used to come in. Yeah, he'd come in, and probably being a Q Kerry man, he'd come in and he'd get his little bit of info, and he'd kind of plumb ass his way around the dressing room. And sure, he knew, you know, he'd such a good way about him. People just loved to talk to him. And I think there was obviously a huge affiliation when he came into the Kerry dressing room. You know, people would go over and shake his hands. He wasn't kind of, you know, we didn't view him as a journalist. We viewed him as a Kerry man who obviously was coaching Kerry back in the 80s with Mikko, and when the players were above in Dublin. And we just viewed him as an out-and-out Kerry man. So we would have always loved that little interaction before a big game. It'd almost relax you.
Yeah, well, look, thank you both for your thoughts. Ní bhaile le heidirís, and I think Alan Milton is dead right there. Thank you for your tributes to Michal Mullaherty. We'll hear more later in the programme. But Kieran Donaghy, Kerry great, and Alan Milton, Director of Communications with the GAA, thank you both very much indeed. You can pay your tribute to Michal Mullaherty, as I say, to 51551.
Drive Time on RT Radio 1. Listen back on the RT Radio app.
Now we'll discuss the passing of Micheál Na MBuire Shearshí, our legendary GAA commentator with Dáire Cineadh of Kerry and Liam Griffin of Wexford. You're both very welcome to the programme. Dáire, bhí mé géisteacht le bheith raidi an na Gaeltachta ní suas is bhí chlóiríonteach agaibh bhí Micheál Na MBuire Shearshí faoin rá, faoin daonlg go chiaraí agus don chraoltacht. You were very close to him, weren't you?
There was a lot of people very close to him down here, you know. I'm thinking in particular of like some Micheál O'Shea and Martin O'Keara from Radio Na Gaeltachta here. He was, of course, a national and an international institution, but he was very much a local institution here as well. And he'll be remembered with great, great fondness. And I'd like to extend, as many others have, my condolences to Helene and to all the family there today. It's the end of an era, there's no doubt about it.
No question about it. You were saying it was a little pishorg of yours before an All-Ireland final that you get to talk to Micheál Na MBuire Shearshí in the dressing room.
Yeah, it was a kind of a ritual or a pishog, I suppose. We like to see him coming, and he always had this wonderful way of, I suppose, of having doors open for him. And he might have wandered across the corridor in Croke Park from the opposition dressing room, and Micheál would ramble in with the programme in his hand, and it wasn't part of the day or part of the big day or the big game day that if you didn't have that conversation with Micheál. I think there were some players might not like to have seen him coming, but I love to see him coming. I love to have that little chat. It grounded me, it brought me home, and it reminded me that we were in an All-Ireland final, but he was always professional. I mean, I remember playing Kildare in 1998 and one of their main players, Niall Buckley, was out injured, and Micheál had that information, so I got it afterwards, but didn't impart it to the Kerry dressing room at the time. He was working, he was on duty, and he didn't give us that little bit of nugget of information, but that's the type of guy he was. He had that easy access to all dressing rooms. He crossed so many barriers, doors and borders.
Yeah, stay with me, Dáire. Liam Griffin, a GA icon, no more than Dáire in your own right, All-Ireland winning manager with Wexford. But it was a great privilege of yours, I would say, to co-commentate with Micheál Na MBuire Shearshí.
It truly was. It was an experience and a half, I can tell you. He looked like he was playing right half forward. He was up, standing up and waving the hands, and you know, it was just a magic thing to even look at. And I think if the cameras had stayed on him some of the times, it might have been better than the game. But and his daughter beside him, and making notes and putting her finger on to stuff and putting it up in front of him, and of course that had come into the next sentence. But he was just such an incredible, you know, absolutely. I don't know. Another commentator would feel very self-conscious doing what he was doing, but he just got into the game, and that was it. And it was a joy to behold, to be honest.
Without question. You have a great anecdote I'm told about going golfing with Micheál Na MBuire Shearshí and Mick O'Dwyer.
No, I wasn't going golfing, but Mick O'Dwyer, this is maybe a Norman Mintz, but it was one that I think is, the two of them are rogues anyway, to be honest with you, in their own light, in a good way. But Micko was supposed to play golf with somebody, and he'd been badgered by the wife to clean the chutes and the hotel, which he wasn't very good at doing that much in the hotel, seemingly. But he was now stymied because he had an appointment to play a game of golf, and he had to do this chutes. But he came up with a good one, and the wife ran out, I think just about 9:45, and said, Micheál Na MBuire Shearshí is on the radio or on the phone, and you're supposed to be on the tee at 10:00. You better get out of here as quick as you can. And that's supposed to have happened, and Micheál was part of it and rang to get him off to go out and play his game of golf, which may have been Urban Milk, but it's very good, and I believe it's from.
As you say, there's two of them in it. It's funny. Yeah. It's funny, Dáire Cineadh. It's a Sean Ash. It was very strange for me to speak to you as a co-Gaeltacht person in English, and it's similar. Yeah. People won't realise this, but you never spoke to Micheál Na MBuire Shearshí in English.
I don't think I ever spoke a word of English to the man. You see, you must remember Micheál came from a world, I suppose, pre-World War II. Scéaltapóca were prevalent. He has memories and of collecting paraffin and sugar during the shortages of World War II. And he comes from a place called Dún Chéan, just east of Dingle, where that mythology lived and coursed through the veins of everybody there. And, you know, the language was second nature to him. The language was very important to him. And, you know, all our conversations were held as great at all times. And he was very quietly... I suppose pushy about the language, you know, and in a lovely way. He had a lovely way of engaging people and bringing them and coaxing them to speak in his language as well. Even if you were of Erbiogán Lífochta, he had that gift, you know, and he had so much time. I always wondered where he got the time from, you know. God gave us all 24 hours, but he always seemed, and I've heard it said before about from other people, that he had seemed to have 48 hours in his day. Never saw the man in a rush or anything like that, and he had always such an easy way about him. And and he just loved people, and he loved, I think that's why he loved the games as much, because he loved the stories around the people. He often spoke about how another great Kerry man, Conn Houlihan, would have said, you know, that he pitied the Dubs often because they never got to travel to Croke Park, and they never got that pilgrimage, and they never got that build up, and they never got that, you know, coming out. And he always spoke about the games, Michal. Part of the game always to him was talking about it before and after, and engaging in people and in communities about the games before and after. That was as much as important as the game, the 70 minutes itself.
Well, without doubt, without question. And the achievement, the GAA achievement, I think in 96 for you, Liam, and I have about 30 seconds left, which is a crime really, but it meant so much, I suppose, to have the commentary of Micheál Dubh na hEarthy ringing in your ears as that's being achieved for the county.
Absolutely, and we had lots of times we met afterwards, and the advice he used to give me was, you know, you're going to have to do lots of things now and try and do them for everybody, like, you know, just like your favourite uncle giving you a lecture. But he said, always go home in the night that you've been somewhere, because if not, you're taking 2 days out of it if you wait overnight, and you won't get leave to go after a while. But like, the biggest thing that I remember about Micheál was that himself and Micheál O'Hare were actually, I don't know how long they, from start to finish, but the GAA actually were, you know, the privilege to have two great men of the, you know, absolutely incredible broadcasters, and both of different genres, and it was just amazing. And
To paint those pictures,
goes to the family.
Paint those pictures for people far and wide. Look, thank you very much indeed for giving us your time, Liam Griffin of Wexford and Dáire Cineadh Ó Riocht Shaoirí, míle buíochas libh agus ar dheis déagra anam mhíthíl i bhfuil a hEarthy.